game.
Frosty one, and scoot the chair up next to the computer, and it's time for Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Chip Gibson, tree hugger, and we're just it's 8 o'clock Thursday night, November 6th. It's like it's November, and I think everybody in the Western United States and us and probably the Northeast are getting ready for some cold wind to be blowing this way. So, but welcome aboard, and let's see. All right, let's see if this works here. You are going, your mic is hot, and here's your intro.
Check 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hey, hey.
And it sounds like rock star sound there coming out of you.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Imagine that. You know, the funny thing is after the move, I misplaced my headset here, and I went out into the garage to look through a couple of totes that I haven't unpacked yet. And when I found the computer headset, tangled up in the Velcro for the headset cord was a 3-pack bag of DOA shrimp. And I said to myself, this is a sign from God.
Yeah, he said, here's your headset back, and thanks for letting me use it. Here's a pack of DOA shrimp for you.
There you go.
He's a great dude, man.
You know, every now and then just comes across unexpectedly, so it works out well.
So, welcome aboard. How have you been, man?
More joy than words can possibly express. All done moving. Settled into the new place and got the kayak out of the garage again, which is a good thing. And hopefully now between moving in the back, hopefully it'll settle down quick and get back out on the water. So I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Of course, it's not the best time of the year to be fishing, but I don't know.
Well, it's not bad down here, man.
Really? Give us some reports. Tell us what's going on.
West Coast and sunny Florida, folks have been doing real well on redfish, trout, and snook. Some folks are actually catching some tarpon. And in my particular area, remember, we've got the power plant.
Uh-huh.
I was down at the Manatee Viewing Center the last 2 days and saw bunches of juvenile tarpon and several over 100 pounds, probably two or three that I would estimate over 150, a couple of nice big fish in there. So, you know, as the Tampa Bay waters cool, some of those fish, I think the cobia should be moving that way in the near future, but some of those fish will be kind of moving into the little bit warmer water around the outlet of the Big Bend power station. And that's a target of opportunity I've missed over the past couple of years, but I plan to do some exploring out there this year. I may even go so far as to throw some live bait.
Hey,
so we'll see what happens.
Dude, that day we were out there chasing those guys around, I wish I would have had a couple of big old pinfish in a bucket, man.
Exactly right. So
I mean, those were some big cobia chasing those manatees out of there. So.
Yep, and there are a bunch of the manatees in, and I've got my sabiki rod.
Found
a sabiki rod at a pawn shop.
Nice.
For $5.
Little did the inventors of the sabiki rod know that would be a key element in kayak fishing.
Yeah,
to be
really.
Able to use, because that like really allows you to use sabiki rigs on a kayak.
I've done it with a Cuban yo-yo, you know, with a little, for those of you who don't know what it is, a little round plastic reel with, well, listeners might not know, with line kind of wrapped around it, a little hand fishing thing.
Uh-huh. Hand reel.
And let me tell you what, it is challenging at best to get things, you know, unraveled. And then if you got, you know, you got four good sized pinfish on the sabiki that you're trying to unravel, you've got the yo-yo up over your head trying to get enough of the line clear to flip them off. And I am looking forward to the sabiki rod experience, I must say.
Yes, definitely. And I mean, that is just, I mean, the last time we were there, down there by the power plant, that was just like, golly, I wish we had more time to spend there and just work it and figure it out, you know?
Yep.
Wow.
But they're there, and those tarpon don't get there by osmosis or by teleportation. They have to come through the areas you can fish, and there's only one way in and one way out. So
yeah, and you just gotta pattern them and see what they do, because they certainly, I can't imagine those fish just hang out there the whole time. You know, I know the manatees go in there and park it, you know, like snowbirds in their RVs, you know, but.
Right.
And that's about what it looks like down there, man.
It does, man.
And if, they're just all bumper to bumper in there. You can just about walk across. The first day we went down there wasn't with you. It was just, you know, we were visiting the area. And I went down. We were at the overlook there. And it just looked like you could walk across on the backs of all the manatees. They were just solid from one side to the other. Yeah. And the fish have got to move in and out of there, you know, and especially if they're generating and the warm water is going out, you know that there's got to be something right there, you know, that's doable for a kayak.
Right, and that warm water current, you know, runs right out that boating channel, and you've got flats on both sides, so they got to be there.
Well, we know they are. You see them in there.
Yeah, well, that's true. Like
you said, it ain't
magic.
That's right. I think we've got, that's right. It's and joining us now from the great white north of New Jersey.
Burr.
Hey, Matt.
Good evening, Chip. What's going on?
All right. Mr. Becker's with us tonight, too.
Hey, Greg. How you doing, man?
Doing all right, man. And in person, happy belated birthday.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Cold.
Ooh, yeah, dude. I haven't even looked at the weather map here.
It's been damp and rainy here all day today. It hasn't broke the 50s.
We had a bit of rain this morning. It was kind of it was just drizzly, you know, as the cold front came through, but it wasn't a big deal. Now this evening, though, as the back of the front crosses over us, the winds are picking up, so.
Gotta watch
it looks like we got to look forward to all the weekend.
Uh-huh, the back of the front. That's right.
Yeah.
Tonight, we're supposed to drop down to 38. Tomorrow, we're up in the 60s, sunny and clear. Friday, we're dropping down in the 30s. Woo. What's a weekend look like for here?
Arctic like we got about the same weather, just won't get as warm.
Yeah. We got, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We got, you know, starting off the day a little bit chilly, nippy at, 35 to 40 degrees and getting up in the mid-60s during the day when the sun comes up. So, but no rain or anything like that scheduled.
Big temperature swing there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we got 30, 40 degrees during the day this time of year. Start off. Layers, right? Layers, that's the key.
That's it.
So, but did you get to go fishing last weekend or last week, Matt? Last Thursday?
Yeah, I went out Thursday night. Thursday was a nice night.
Yeah?
Nothing doing on Thursday, so I heard they were doing good off the beach, so I figured I'd try it again on Friday. And Friday the front moved in while I was out there. And I got that cold rain that it's so windy when it hits you in the face, it hurts.
That's called sleet, brother. Those are ice needles, man.
It was raining, but it was just so windy that it it hurt when it hit you. And it was wind with the tide, and I was drifting about five and a half knots. And I say thank God for my torpedo on that one.
Yeah.
There's no way I was paddling in if I had to paddle.
Yeah, that's not drifting, that's sailing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Friday night was not fishable. Thursday night was slow. I got skunked, so both nights. That's unfortunate.
I like that. I got skunked. It was slow. So yeah.
I had one runoff on Thursday, that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must have been a nice fish, because here's the thing. The weekend before, I was fishing for tautog, and that's all bridge and wreck fishing. So yeah, I didn't think about it, but I should have took about 30 feet of line off my reel from rubbing up against those pilings.
Uh-huh.
And that runoff I had, the line snapped on me.
Man.
So I'm sure that's what it was from, fighting those tog that were, you know, getting in the rocks and the braid rubbing up against all those nice sharp mussels and barnacles on the bridge piling.
And you just kind of heard, just like that.
Oh, yeah, just like that. Boom.
Stop. Yeah. So I have to see where's I need something like a, you know, Mr. Science kind of intro fanfare, something like that. But I mean, yeah, there's a pointer for folks listening to the podcast. If you've not done much kayak fishing, not done much fishing around structure, after you get, I mean, that stuff gets all frayed out, keep an eye on it and take it out, like you said, you know, 30 feet or so, just pull it off of the line and discard of it appropriately, not just toss it overboard. Actually, in Florida, I've noticed most of the places now they have the, you know, put your old fishing line here kind of receptacles for recycling it and stuff. But yeah, you got to rip some off there, man, to get that weak stuff, because it doesn't take much, and a big fish can come unbuttoned quick. So.
Oh, yeah, it was literally about 10 seconds after I set the hook and started my sleigh ride.
Yeah.
The first crank, it was tick, tick, tick.
Boom.
I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. So. Some other disturbing news from up in that area, and just a good example of where your PFD, I think they found a kayaker back washed up shore. Yeah. No,
yeah,
PFD.
The river in Virginia, right?
Yeah, down in Virginia.
And
found the body of a kayak. No PFD on the body when they found it. So,
but
I mean, you're not,
one in the boat.
Yeah, bet it was stuffed up under a bunch of cord. Well, you got to have it with you, right?
Got to have it on.
Yeah, got to have it on for it to work.
Yeah.
I hear they're typically
one or two in the spring, and now we're starting to see them in the fall. So, you know, those are guys out there fishing. They ain't out there sightseeing.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's like, it's frustrating because it's like, you know, I mean, you see people losing their lives, and it's like, what do you have to do to get them? All you got to do is put the PFD on. And it's not like we're wearing these old Mae West, you know, things from World War II, you know, that you can't move around in and stuff. I mean, the modern PFD is something that you can put on and fish all day and never know you've got it on, you know. In fact, the modern PFD actually is a nice accessory vest, really. I mean, it gives you pockets to put gear in and stuff like that. Things that you might need if you went overboard.
Unless you're using one of those $10 orange ones that tie behind you and you got the whole thing right in front.
Right. Yeah,
I don't understand what message we have to send. I mean, do we have to go to the extent that they've done with cigarette smoking and start showing, you know, pictures of dead, bloated bodies and people not wearing, you know, like they show the pictures of the cancer-ridden lungs and stuff like that on TV to make the impression. Is that what we have to do to get the message across to people that something this simple is really a life and death decision?
Well, it is so important.
I've recovered.
Yeah.
Recovered more than my share of bodies over the years, and you know there have been a couple. I will say that you know water related events that PSC would not have made a difference. But by far, you know, nobody ever starts their day by saying, I'm going to go out and drown today.
No.
So, you know, I shouldn't say nobody, but most people don't. And I think it's just a mindset thing, but I obviously don't know how to communicate it to the point where it's effective, you know. Other than, you can't just go around and slap everybody, so.
Well. Just carry your little robe, you know, and your bamboo stick, and as you walk around, you know, just visit the kayak launch areas around your area, and as people get ready to launch and they don't have their PFD on, you hit them upside the head with that bamboo stick and say, you know, maybe you should think about this. Let me see if I can bring you to enlightenment there. I don't know.
These people, they don't realize, because really, that, like you said before, I'll be out fishing in the dead of summer when the sun's beating on me, and I forget I'm wearing the thing. I mean, if you're not hot, I just don't get it. The modern PFDs are the way to go. You know, if you want to be comfortable, spend over $100 on a PFD, and you'll be happy. You won't even know you're wearing it, you know?
Yep. But if you need it, you will have it on. And, I mean, and you know, this day and age, too, I mean, at this time of year, you've got, you know, the water's starting to cool down, and you know, if you're in cold water, you ain't gonna be able to tread water very long, not long at all.
No, especially when you're up here in Virginia and north. I mean, on Friday I was out. It was pretty chilly out. The water is 56 degrees. Right, I stick my hand in the water. The water feels warm.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's not warm.
No.
So the combined air temperature with the water temperature, you're going to be hypothermic pretty quick.
Yep.
But Chip, I don't know if you have something else planned for Tech Talk tonight, but is it worth morphing this conversation into a brief review of the different types of PFDs that are out there and how to wear them properly and how to use them properly?
Uh-oh, cue up that Gear Talk music.
Here it comes. We're just going to morph right into it. Tech Talk, PFDs. You said more. Mashed it up, right? Isn't that the new lingo?
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So the rules. Let's start first, just like I do in any kind of process improvement review I do. Let's see what requires us. Why do we have to do this? Do we even have to do it? Well, yeah, pretty much. I don't think there's a jurisdiction anywhere in the United States that says that doesn't have a rule that in any watercraft. And I'm not talking, you know, I mean, here's a good story. Jimbo Meter. Anybody who's been around native watercraft knows who Jimbo Meter is. Reported to be behind the Forrest Gump legend, right? Jimbo, great nautical engineer, lots to do with the hulls and everything. So he's out on a kind of a paddleboard, a stand-up paddleboard. The DNR guys stop him and say, hey, you don't have a PFD on. So the story is that Jimbo says, well, I'll paddle back and get one. And he's, you know, this is just in the intercoastal area and stuff. And they're like, no, you can't do that. You don't have a PFD on. So he decides then, just real quick, he figures it out. He just jumps in the water and swims and paddles the board back, but swims the board back to the beach. But there's rules. I mean, everywhere you go. I mean, what's the rule in Florida, Greg?
Well, for kayaks and canoes, you have to have, it depends on the type of PFD you have. You have to at least possess a PFD. Mm-hmm. if you have the class of PFD that provides flotation no matter what you do, you know, be it the old Orange type or any of the newer, you know, Stolquist or Astral or any of the other dozen outstanding PFD manufacturers, a non-inflatable, naturally buoyant PFD, you have to possess it in the boat. If you have one of the inflatables, either the belt type or the type that you wear over your shoulders, you must wear it anytime you're in the boat or in the water.
Okay.
That's the rule.
What's up? How about up there in Jersey, Matt?
I think it's if you're under 13, you have to wear it. But other than that, it has to be on board your boat.
Okay.
One per person aboard. And I believe it's under 12 or 13 that it's mandatory for the child to be wearing it. So there's no mandatory to have a PFD on unless you're below a certain age limit.
I think. Let me look real quick. I gotta put the right one in there. Let me see what's it say here. We have a lot of folks wind up hung up in snags along the Chattahoochee River as they start generating from the dam up at the lake, and the water comes down in about a 2 to 4 foot wave. And folks who are just sitting along the banks, you know, fishing out of their John boat or their kayak, and they may have themselves tied off or have a small drag chain under. When that wave hits them, it capsizes them, upsets the boats. And, you know, they're washed downstream. And, you know, when you hit the snag and your head's underwater, it's not very good. I just saw one the other day with a whitewater thing where the guy got his head trapped between the rocks. And they had to unwedge him from the rocks there. But let's see what it says. Yeah. Right?
That goes with the thing, getting trapped between a rock and a hard place, huh?
Yeah, right? So anyways, PFD categories. So there's some different types, right? There's the type 1, which is an offshore jacket for extended survival in rough and open water. You go offshore at night, man, you should be wearing one of those, Matt. But one of the things that people don't realize is adults, you need about 7 to 12 pounds. Let's see, what do they say the extra one is? The standard cushion is like 18 pounds, a boat cushion, and a ring buoy is 16 and a half pounds per U.S. Coast Guard categories, right? And that for adults, to keep your head above water, you need about a 22 pounds of flotation. And after, you know, so you figure you're trying to tread water and you don't have that vest on, you're not going to stay up. Inflatable life jackets, those things are really nice. There's some pluses and minuses. You know, there's the auto inflators. I don't know if an auto inflator would work very well in a kayak. I don't know.
I've heard auto inflators auto inflate when it's raining out. So.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the type. The old ones, if it's worth talking about how they activate, there's two types of inflatables. There's either a manual one or an automatic / manual one. Every inflatable PFD can be activated manually. They're, for the most part, powered by a small CO2 cartridge, a carbon dioxide cartridge, that when you pull a lever, it pushes a little pin into the CO2 cartridges, opening it and allowing the CO2 to escape into the chamber, the air chamber or chambers of the PFD, causing it to inflate. In the older style auto-inflate unit, the way they did that was they had a spring-loaded pin that's held away from the carbon dioxide cartridge, and it's held away by a little dissolvable tablet. And when that dissolvable tablet gets wet, it does what it's supposed to do and dissolves and allows the pin to puncture and automatically inflate. So yes, you're right. In a heavy rain, some of those would sometimes inflate. The more current ones do it with either a different formulation of dissolvable tint in tablet. It's not like an Alka-Seltzer anymore. It's a little bit more reliable. Or there are ones now that actually do it by water pressure. You have to actually have water pressure. It senses the differential between atmospheric pressure and water pressure in order to activate the device. So a lot of the older and the first ones that came out, yes, they're true. It's true. There were a lot of false inflations, especially when it, you know, when it was raining or if you were launching a surf or things like that. You look like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man for a couple seconds after it it blows up on you. But some of the newer devices, especially the Mustang and US Survival and a couple of those, the technology has improved greatly, both in the tablets and in the water pressure sensing devices.
Okay. Yeah, I just pulled up the Florida regulations, FWC, minimum required safety equipment for Class A recreational vehicles less than 16 feet or 4.9 meters for you metric fans, or canoes and kayaks. So a canoe or kayak, I guess, can be longer than 16 feet, but it's a Class A recreational vehicle. The personal flotation devices has to have one approved type 1, 2, or 3 for each person on board or being towed on water skis. I don't do that in my kayak, but a type 1, 2, or 3. A type 1 is the offshore jacket. That's a big jacket. That's for rough stuff.
Yeah.
Number 2 is a nearshore buoyant vest. And type 3 is a flotation aid. And that's kind of the...
That's the code standard for...
Yeah.
For pretty much everybody, right?
Well, when you get down to a type 3, the thing about a type 3 is it won't, they generally, they're for use in calm water where there's fast rescue opportunities because
right.
they typically won't turn an unconscious person face up in the water. And that's the big deal. That's the thing. The type 1 and type 2, most of those will turn an unconscious person face up in the water. And that's really, you know, when I see people without vests on, they just got them thrown in the back of the boat and stuff. It's like, well, you know, the water's only 3 feet deep. Yeah. But, you know, you can drown in your bathtub if you fall and hit your head. You fall out of the kayak. And that's typically when people are going to fall out of the kayak in flat water and shallow waters or standing up and they do something goofy and they trip, fall, and land in an oyster bed or something like that, knock themselves out. I don't know. I don't know what we have to do to get the point across to people to wear their PFDs, you know. And certainly, you know, with a kid, it says here, Class A, every person on board under the age of 6 must wear an approved Type 1, 2, or 3 while the vessel is underway. And I know from fishing with you, Greg, I was the same way the whole time when Brad was, and actually, Brad's under 16. You know, he's under 18. Once he turns 18, he could do much. You know, be stupid on his own. But I'm not going to be responsible for him now. While he's with me, he's going to wear a PFD the whole time, and it will be zipped up, buttoned up, so that it would be useful. That it won't float off of him if he drops out of the boat. And I mean, Brad swims like a fish. I mean, he's been in swimming lessons and swimming competitions and stuff since he was a little bitty guy. But you can swim all you want. If you're knocked out unconscious face down in the water, you don't have gills.
Well,
I saw.
Go ahead. Sorry. I was just going to say that's part of the deal. I mean, I was a swiftwater rescue swimmer when I was, you know, doing the fire service thing in New York. Lots of swimming experience, lots of swimming time, and we always wore, obviously, PFDs in the rescue operations. But part of it with me, especially with fishing with Robert, and before Robert and I started fishing together, I did wear occasionally a Class 5, you know, inflatable, or Type 5. But I started wearing, you know, a Type 3 all the time with Robert because even if something happens to me, you know, medical emergency, whatever, and I wind up in the water, I don't think that Robert is strong enough to get me out of the water if I'm face down. But he can certainly turn me over. And we've done that. We've practiced. Okay, here's how you turn somebody over to get them face up in the water to at least, you know, buy a little time after you push the panic button on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big thing. You know, I really don't think that we're overthinking it when we say that people need to consider that things are not going to go the way they plan. You know, nobody has insurance because they want to have a fire or they want to have an accident. Nobody has a fire extinguisher because they want to have a fire. I mean, when it comes down to it, people don't have drills because they want to have drills. Electric drills because they want to have electric drills. People have electric drills because they want to have holes.
Yeah.
When you take it a step further than what your plans are and look at what could happen, it really isn't that. At least in my mind, it becomes a lot simpler very quickly. But.
Yep. And I just look, okay, so this month, if you're signed up with the newsletter, the monthly newsletter that Austin Kayak, which is just an example of a retailer that handles a lot of kayak fishing equipment. They've got, oh my goodness, here. There's a grid of 4, 8, 12, 16, 20, 24, 28 different PFDs ranging from the most expensive, the Stolquist Descent Rescue Life Jacket. This is a fast water, this is a rescue wearer's jacket. It's $229.99. To the least
the one where the Coast Guard drops you out of the helicopter to go get people, right? You wear that one?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's a professional jacket for $229, or you don't. I mean, if you're one of those gear guys and you got to have the best, the most expensive. But here's the Harmony Kickback Cordura Life Jacket, PFD. It's on sale for $59.96, right? You can get a Procaster, Extra Sport Procaster. These are all low-cut, mesh-back, the high-back for using in a kayak. So they're comfortable. You probably never know that you have this thing on. The Astral Camino 200 life jacket. It's been discontinued, but they've got a few of them on sale. They're regularly $130 or listed for $99.96. And if you subscribe to their monthly thing, this month they got a 20% off discount coupon for any of their products. So, I mean, here you got the Stolquist Fisherman High Back life jacket. That's the one I wear. That's $100 minus 20%. You're down to $80. You're down to $80 life jacket. That's comfortable. You can wear. I know those new. What are they? The Stolquists are nice. The Astrals. What is that one?
MTI
that
makes a nice fishing one.
Who's that?
Yep.
MTI. They make a real nice fishing one. It's got a lot of pockets. It's got a little pocket for your radio to put in there. Has a little antenna sticking out.
Yep.
It's pretty nice.
Hey, what a great idea, too, to have your emergency communications device on you.
With you.
When you go overboard, right?
Yeah, exactly. Not tied down to the kayak somewhere.
Let's see. How fast did you say your boat was drifting with the current and the wind? Five knots?
Five and a half knots.
Mm-hmm. There goes my radio, right? Yeah. Good luck trying to catch that.
I would drift a quarter mile in about a minute, and then with the torpedo to go make a new drift, it would take me 6 minutes.
To get back, right? To your starting point. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
All right. So it's not a big deal.
It's worth saying that a lot of this might sound really preachy and, might come across as a little bit holier than thou to the guys and girls, whoever, who say, yeah, it's in the boat because the law requires it, but I just don't need it. I don't want it. I don't want to do it. All well and good. That's fine. At least from where I sit, I do not think I'm better than anybody else because I wear my PFD all the time and I make my kid wear his PFD all the time and I rag on anybody I'm fishing with if they don't wear their PFD all the time. That's not what it's about for me. I've just seen too many people, adults and kids, whose outcomes could have been much different if they had taken the time to do something as simple as putting on the PFD. And that's what it's about to me. Because I've knocked on those doors, I've pulled them to the shore, put them in the bags, and it's not fun. it's not fun. And you don't, you only change your life, you change everybody's life around you. So it's a little investment for a lot of return.
Absolutely. I mean, you probably, I don't know, you know, we should probably look into, you know, how often you should replace your PFD, you know? I mean, I know Brad's gotten so big now that his PFD is, probably needs one a little bit bigger. He weighs a little bit more now. He used to wear a smaller vest, and the last time we went out, he wore my vest. So, and I had another one. But you know, how often should you replace it? Is it like your mattress, you know, that gets full of skin cells and chiggers and all that other stuff? You know, I don't know. But you know, where does it start breaking down? You know, the materials inside, UV rays and the elements and salt water and all that kind of stuff. So we should probably check that out for another Tech Talk episode. But hey, that was a great idea. And Tech Talk, PFDs, unfortunate accident this week in the news, finding a kayaker who lost his life. And unfortunately, he didn't have a PFD on. Might not have been the cause, but certainly could have been different, a different story if the individual... There might have been a different outcome had he been wearing that. So, cool. Great idea, Greg. Thanks for that. That was cool.
Yeah, we had a kayaker rescued offshore here in the beginning of the week. He just caught the tide and the wind, and he couldn't get back. And he said his pedal broke on his boat, too, so he couldn't paddle back fast enough.
Yeah.
So, he got on his cell phone and called his buddy on the beach. He called 911, and before he knew it, there was two Coast Guard boats, a cutter, a helicopter, the five police boats, fire engines on the beach.
Dang.
Anything worth doing is worth overdoing.
Yeah, that's right, man. It's worth doing 30 times.
Yeah, he had everybody there. I was like, oh, man.
Everything in excess. Moderation is for monks.
That's right, man. Well, they had those two women that got attacked by the shark, where the shark hit them, and they called, and they had all the, they were on the 911 call and stuff. People carrying their phones now and stuff. But the problem is, if you don't have it on you, if you don't have a way to stay afloat, man. All right. Well, enough of kicking that one.
The only thing is I'm glad I'm not that guy, because when you go back into the beach, the walk of shame, I'm sure, was tough on that guy.
Right?
Oh, man,
that shouldn't have been there, right? Okay, cool. I noticed, I saw that one little email thing that we get. Was it Inshore Fisherman or the Fisherman, something like that, the fish? I can't remember it now, but there was some interesting stuff this week, fishing along the coast, some interesting stuff going on. But it's going to get cold. I saw a thing some survival thing that these guys do. It's like Dude, You're Screwed is the name of the TV show. It's like all these guys, it's a bunch of buds from the military, different special ops groups and stuff, and they take turns, you know, taking one of their buddies and throwing them out. Like this one guy, they took him and put him in a raft with minimal survival equipment, and then they popped a hole in his raft, and he wound up drifting, and he was right off of Sugarloaf Key. There's Marvin Key, about 8 miles to the west of Sugarloaf. It was, you know, one of those key islands that there wasn't anything there. And it was late in the summer, early fall, I guess, when they did this. But the guy decided, and he said it, his own self, well, you know, I should just build a big signal fire, but I'm going to try building a raft and get in the water. It goes against all of my training that I should just sit tight, build a signal fire, and wait for somebody to come to me, but I'm going to get in the water. The water temp was 70 degrees, and within 2.5 hours of being in the water, and this is Florida. This is the Florida Keys. We're not a couple of minutes off of the equator here. The water temperature is 70 degrees. His body temperature had gone down to, they said it was 90, 96.8, 96.7. So he was getting hypothermic in 70-degree water in Florida after being in, he'd been in the water for a couple of hours, and that's probably not a hard stretch if you're down fishing in one of the remote areas of the Keys or the Everglades or something like that. If you have an accident, you can wind up being in the water that long. But it's getting cold out there. Wear the appropriate gear. If you don't have to be in the water, don't get in the water.
Yeah, I don't want to be in the water, but you never know.
No, you never know, right? So you might as well be prepared, right? So who's fishing? Who's fishing this weekend? Are we doing any fishing this weekend?
Well, with the cold front coming through down here, it's going to depend on the weather. I was thinking about on Saturday, but it's supposed to get a little breezy again. It was downright nautical here last weekend with the front that came through. And with, you know, with the recovery from the move and everything else, we're just in quiescent mode here. But, you know, me getting down to the, down and looking at those fish in the power plants really got me, my attention kind of focused on that. So we may try to get out, depending on the weather on Saturday. Sunday's supposed to, may rain as well, so we'll see.
It's one of the things I know. Like, Matt, what's usually the visibility of the water where you're fishing at? Like how
you mean water clarity or distance?
Yeah,
you can see?
Clarity, yeah.
Oh, summertime, it's less than 3 feet. Mm-hmm. It varies, 3 to 4 feet, sometimes 5. It all depends on what comes in with the ocean. But in the wintertime, you could see down like about 10 feet.
Right.
You get really clear water this time of year.
Yeah, this is having had folks, you know, show up and meet us down in Florida to fish from your area, Virginia, other areas. It just sucks in Florida because you can see so far into the water. And when you can see these fish, you can see big giant fish swimming by you, and you throw things at them and you hit them with the bait and nothing, and they don't even turn around and, you know, flip you off or anything like that. They just keep swimming.
That was a bad day.
I
kind of know that feeling up here with one of the reservoirs up here is a very clear water lake, and you could see largemouth bass down like 20 feet deep, and you just run your jigs right past them. They don't even flinch. It's
yeah.
Like, all right. I guess that fish ain't hungry today.
I know I was fishing in we'd gone out to Colorado, and I carried a travel rod with me, and so we stopped one day. You know, cruising around, and there was a beautiful stream, and I was licensed appropriately, and I like get down on the stream, and oh my God, there's just some beautiful trout just hanging in this one little eddy, and I could just see them there, you know, and I set the drift up, dry fly, nothing, you know, and the second time they go by, you know, I see the trout rise, and then he just ignores it, just drops back down, you know, and it's like, these fish probably had seen so many flies in their life that they just didn't care anymore, you know. But it was like, try to, a sinking line, no, they just totally ignore it. You just try the spinning rod, little spinning rod, throw it something in, try to hit them, you know. It's like, dang.
Clear that water. Is not where your fluorocarbons tied to your braid.
Yeah, no, man. It's terrible.
Like that.
Right. So... All right. Well, I'm not going to be able to fish this weekend. We've got Veterans Day weekend upon us, and Bradley being in the ROTC, junior ROTC unit. They've got parades to do and all that, so I'm a shuttle bus captain, I think, for the weekend. But that's all right. We are planning a trip to Sugarloaf Key in December. Thanksgiving's coming up, but I think I'm probably going to go over to Alabama, spend some time with my dad, and maybe do a little bit of fishing in the pond, in the lake there that he lives on. It will be cold probably, but not that bad. Dress appropriately. You got any fishing left in you up there, Matt, or is it just getting too cold, man? Are the stripers running?
I do, but I do, but I unfortunately have to go down and help my dad winterize his boat this weekend. So it's a full day event, so it just kind of ixnays my fishing for the weekend.
Right.
But I'm shooting for next weekend to go back down to Delaware and do some tog fishing down there on the Cape Henlopen breakwall.
Nice.
It's a bucket list thing for me, so supposedly they get some big fish off that thing, so we'll see.
Cool. All right. Well, how about do it for me this weekend or tonight? We got it's about time for homework checking and all that kind of stuff. And Mr. Becker, glad to see you alive and well. I recalled all of the assets I sent out to locate you, and glad that you're moved in and everything's calming down for you. Hope to see you back out on the water pretty soon.
Absolutely.
Matt, you stay warm. And,
thanks, I'll try.
And we'll do it again next week, huh?
Sounds good.
All right. This is Kayak Fishing Radio on Monday. Chuck kicks it off with the Redfish Chuck Monday night kickoff. Tuesday nights, we don't have a show anymore. But Wednesday, it's kind of intermittent with Wheeler's wife being moving around and stuff right now. But he should be back online here with the Low Sodium Show, and we'll do it again next Thursday night. So thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, wish him well, too. He just had surgery, too. So.
Oh, that's right, yeah. So hope he's feeling better and gets a chance to listen, and we send him all the best wishes. So we'll see you guys next week. Kayak Fishing Radio, tight lines, take a kid fishing, and wear your PFD, right? Good night, guys.